WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I am Dr. Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Monday and Tuesday to you. And thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me here today. Now, I'm letting this opening play here today and tomorrow. So it might be Tuesday, Sunday afternoon when I'm recording this. And I'm grateful you've taken the time to join me here today. Forgive me for last week, too. I've been really fighting this sickness again, me and my wife. And I've been down for the count for almost 3 weeks now with this cold and flu and sore throat thing that's been going around. So that's why you might have heard a little Halloween here or Halloween there or the same program playing the next day. I've just been scrambling to get something on the radio. But hey, I'm not scrambling today. Today you're going to hear something I just preached here today. Like I said, this is Sunday when I'm recording this. This was from the December the 5th sermon at Island Community Church. And I'll tell you, boy, God was really moving in this sermon. It's entitled, Who Has Bewitched You? All right, now Paul is madder than a hornet now. Remember, there's no greeting to this church. He didn't greet them. He praised the Lord for a couple of verses, but he didn't greet these people because he is angry with them. For barely into this letter, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. And now he's going right at him. After he defends himself for two chapters or half of chapter one and chapter two, he got into a fight with Peter. He was respected by the apostles. He didn't receive his gospel from men. Now in chapter three, verse one, he's going right at him. Who in the world, who has bewitched you people that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed among you as crucified? So that's where we're at. People there, these false Jews. Remember, you're not Jew. A true Jew is a son of Abraham. Just like Jesus said in Revelation 3:9, Revelation 4:9, those who call themselves Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. A true Jew is a son of or daughter of Abraham. Now, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, Jesus said, and he saw it and was glad. That is what a true son or daughter of Abraham looks like. Not the ones that came in after Paul left and told them they needed to keep the law in order to be right with God. That's the crux of what we're looking at. This will play here today and we'll wrap it up tomorrow. We'll be back again on Wednesday in our ongoing series, which we're close to wrapping up in the book of Revelation. So God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Again, more contact info on me. Paul at WGODradio.com is the best way to get a hold of me. The app is a free download, WGOD Radio. These programs are all up there. You can give and support the ministry from on there. That would be greatly appreciated. I pay to be on the station, same as all the other programmers do. So, okay, God bless. Here we go. Who has bewitched you?
Onward and upward here. We're in the book of Galatians. App just turned on now. If you're watching on the app, good morning. God bless you. Grab your Bibles. We're in Galatians chapter 3. If we're here in the house today, grab your Bibles. We're in Galatians chapter 3. All right, now Paul is kind of done with his testimony. Last week we saw he even had the authority to publicly correct Peter in Antioch. So since chapter 1, he's been defending his credentials And he's been proven to them that he wasn't taught the gospel from an apostle or any other human being. But the gospel he received directly from the Lord. Amen. No? Hold on a second. Okay, there we go. Let's listen to what Paul said. In chapter 1, verse 11, he says, I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow, what a statement that. How many people can claim that? I did not receive the gospel from a man. Also, 1 Corinthians 11:23. I read to you every once a month, the last Sunday of every month, prior to Holy Communion, Paul said, I received from the Lord Jesus that which I deliver unto you. And that's kind of awesome in its own right, isn't it? That from the Apostle Paul, we have the instructions on how to do practically anything. And Paul tells us these instructions he shares with us, he received directly from the Son of God himself. It's great to know that we're doing it right. Praise God, isn't it? When I preach to you Christ alone for salvation, rest assured we know we're doing it right. When I say to you, you're saved by grace, that is God felt like shining his love down upon you. When I say that you're saved by your faith, rest assured, we're doing it right, and you're doing it right. For it's by grace are you saved. Paul was not told this by a man. For it's by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. He got that directly from the Son of God. It's great to know that you don't have to add any of your own works to be saved. He did it all. All to him I owe. Now, along those lines, it's upsetting to see when you're doing it wrong. We're in Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at how they're doing it wrong. Someone tricked them into doing it wrong. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Remember that show on TV? Oh, no, that's I Dream of Jeannie. Who has bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth, comma, better have a comma, and more following that verse. If not, leave your Bible here and I'll give you another. He's not done. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, comma, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? All right, now let's parse this. For foolish, let's use the word stupid. Let's add the emphasis that's intended. He's trying to insult you if you miss this. That's his whole purpose of insulting you if you miss this. He's calling you a fool or stupid. Let's define the word bewitch. It means to cast an evil spell over, or to deceive. And it's the only time the word is used in the entire New Testament. Baskaino is the word. All right, so here it goes. You stupid Galatians, what idiot cast a spell on you to cause you to believe that Jesus Christ wasn't crucified for your own sin? This was shown to you, right to your face. You can go read it in the Daily Mail of Rome and see the headline. You could even read Josephus, the unbeliever. And he'll tell you that this happened. Now, verse 2. Notice there's only two options here. This only do I want to learn from you. Colon, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? There's only two options. Did God accept you, receive you, and bless you, and declare you accepted in the beloved and not guilty because either, number one, you kept all his commandments. Because remember, you have to keep them all. James says if you stumble at one, you're guilty of the whole book. Were you accepted by God by keeping all the rules in the Bible or by the hearing of faith? That's right. Remember what Paul taught the Romans. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Either one of these two. Did you receive the Holy Spirit because you kept all the rules in the Bible, or because you heard the gospel and something went off on the inside of you and you said, that's for me. Amen. That's for me. That's how I was saved. Maybe this will make sense later on when I get to it. I think the preacher was preaching that week Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village. And then at the very, very end, he decided to wake everyone up with this truth. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I sprung up and said, that's for me. And I've never looked back 20 years later. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by only one thing, the gospel. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word that activates the faith that he put on the inside of you. So this is his inquiry. Listen to what happened when Peter preached at someone's house. Acts 10:43, Peter said to him, capital H, that's Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. Praise God. See, faith comes by hearing. All of you could have the gift of faith on the inside of you, and it's going to do nothing until it connects with that message of the gospel. And then there's a tremendous explosion, and you say, that's for me. That is good news, Linda. Heaven help you if your pastor doesn't preach the word. But God will find another way, because he'll make the gospel come out of stones if he has to. So this is what he wants to know. All right, now forgive me if I repeat myself. I've just told you what I've written down here. This is how salvation works. The word of God is alive. The preacher, if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, preaches the word. God super energizes it. Better yet, the word is already super energized. You over here hear the word. That ignites the gift of faith on the inside of you. And Acts 13:48, as many as were appointed to eternal life believe. If your name's in the book, you're going to hear that. And when you hear the gospel message, it's like flicking the switch on the inside of you. But let me ask the question, what happens if the preacher doesn't preach the word of God and the gospel? What happens? Nothing happens. Like being full of dynamite with no match to ignite it. All right, now back to the top. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only do I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Notice there's no option three there. Some churches create an option three. They assign that to, let's say, baptism maybe. Here's another truth for you. Some people, some churches add number three, or let's say number four, and they add repentance to that. Because repentance does not save you. Amen. Telling God you're sorry about something cannot save you. Any sap can say you're sorry. No one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord unless the Holy Spirit is inside of him and that he's your Lord. So really, there are only two ways to be accepted in the beloved. Number one, the works of the law. I put like Jesus was. Though Jesus wasn't saved, he didn't need to be saved. Saved from what? He wasn't a sinner. He knew no sin. He was always accepted in the beloved. But that's one way you can try to be saved. Like Paul says, the works of the law. And number two, the hearing of faith. And you see, number two here, faith will lead you to repentance. Repentance comes from a new heart. For that matter, baptism comes from a new heart too. So all those things I said don't save you, you're going to want to do anyway once you're born again. You're going to want to get baptized like everyone in the Bible. We had three last week. You're going to want to repent of your sins because that's what you do, because you're sorry that your sins added weight to him on the cross. That causes you grief and remorse. Right? Should. All right, verse 3. He continues grilling them for this. He says, are you so stupid? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? All right, so the Holy Spirit has done this entire change in your life, and you're born again with a new heart. And now at this stage, you say to God, all right, God, I've got it from here. Thanks. From now on, I'm going to keep rules to be right with you. I started off in the faith, and now that all that stuff is done, I'm going to keep the law in order to please you and in order to remain in a right standing with you, God. I'm going to keep all of your rules in order to do that. Church, if that's your reasoning, you've missed it. God didn't save you to enable you to keep rules. God saved you because he loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. God saved you because he loves you and wants you to spend eternity with him. You've missed it. That's not what the law was all about. The law was to get you on the knees to cry out to God saying, I can't do this. I need help. Enter in your help. Amen. The Son of God. That's the whole purpose. He desires to have fellowship with you. He desires to be reconciled back to you, or better yet, he desires you to be reconciled back to him. Don't work to keep rules. And I'll tell you why. Because you already have it inside of yourself as a Holy Spirit-filled believer. You have it in yourself already what it takes to please God. You lack nothing. You already have it. Listen to this scripture as I gasp for water. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus was a pastor. Paul wrote him a letter to encourage him, to help him. Whew. Hot in here, isn't it? God help me. This is in defense to people who say, oh, you who tell people, don't follow rules and don't keep the commandments. You're just giving your congregation a license to sin. This is my response to that. Okay? Titus chapter 2, listen to what Paul says. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You see, instead of trying to keep rules to please God, Paul is saying here that God has already done the work on the inside of you for you to accomplish what you could never do before. Again, he gave himself for us so that he might redeem us. That means to buy out of the slave market. Redeem us for every good deed and purify for himself. You didn't do it. He did it. Salvation is of the Lord. All you need to do is cry out to him for help, and he'll help you every time. He purified for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You see, you want to do good now because of what he's done on the inside of you, not because you read in a book it said, do good or else. You've got the Holy Spirit now, and it's your desire to do good. Remember what I've said before. You're either chained, right? You're a slave of sin, or you're a slave of righteousness. That is, you're chained to it. You are chained to sin, or you are chained to righteousness. That is, you're compelled today to do good. Like when David woke up one day, he said, is there anyone left from the house of Saul that I can do something good for today? But you didn't do it. And you didn't acquire that from reading it in a book. It happened to you because you are what we call born again. It's not a bald-headed monk holding a sign at an airport. It's you being born again. You've got a new heart. God got rid of your old one, and he gave you a new one. That's how you do this. It's not a license to sin. You're chained to righteousness now, and you want to do good. I'll show you how much good you want to do. Let's go over here, and let's open up the bank book to this church. Let's see how much money we gave for Walk for Bibles. Let's see how much money was given to kids out here that don't have a loaf of bread. You see, you're chained to it. We're overflowing with money at this church because you are chained to it. Who can I do good to today? All I do is just kind of light the fire a little bit, right? We have a need here. Does anyone want to step up and meet this need? Step back and let God work. And doesn't he?
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Lights are twinkling down the block, far as the eye can see. And Daddy's on a mission, he's gotta find the perfect tree. The smell of cookies baking, that could only mean one thing, that it's finally Christmas, yeah. Dust off that old record and sing along with Nat King Cole. Grandpa falls asleep while Grandma tells of days of old. All the crazy families come to town and they're knocking at the door. 'Cause it's finally Christmas. It's finally Christmas.